It's to start our time in learning and getting back into the swing of things, because we take these vacations during the summer, and sometimes we take a spiritual vacation too. Anybody know what I mean? We kind of take a break sometimes. Some of you guys are trying to get in the last couple of vacations, and we're a little light today because people are getting in those last vacations of the summer. Yesterday, we actually went to the zoo, and everybody knows how awesome the zoo is. It's a fun blast with a bunch of kids running around, jumping on the rocks, squirting water at you, going too far into the woods where you're not supposed to go. I'm here to teach you. I've been a foster parent now for like 5 or 6 months, so I'm pretty equipped to tell you how to be a parent. So, this is what I did yesterday, and I think that you could really learn a few things here. So I took these three kids that we have now. I took them to the zoo, and I took them hungry. Like they had eaten a little bit, but they hadn't eaten enough to really fill themselves up. And I like to get in and out within 2 hours. We got the season pass thing. And how many of you guys have the season pass to the zoo? Anybody out there? A few of you? We don't have to get our money's worth in one time, so we're just going to spread it out. I like to get in and out within 2 hours. That's enough time. Man, we were out of there within 2 hours. I didn't have to say a word. They were starving. They wanted to leave. I'm telling you, take that. Take that. Take that. And it's a beautiful thing. So that's one of the things we're doing to end our summer. A lot of you guys are doing that, but we're getting back into this year. We're going to start off with our 21 days of prayer. We're going to focus our time on God. That's going to be starting today until August 25th. We are going to be, I like to call it a tithe of our time. So we tithe our money. The first 10% goes to God. We're going to tithe our time right now, and we're going to give it to God. We're going to focus on God. We're going to refocus. We're going to be ready, because this is a new season. A lot of kids are going back to school. A lot of jobs ramp up. Those of you who are teachers, you're getting a little tired. Like, you need to get out of the house. You need to get back to work. There's a lot of things that happen in the fall, and we're going to be pushing forward. We're going to be making big decisions here in the next few months. So this is the most important time for us to be able to refocus our lives on that. So those are the 21 days. We're going to have some dates and times for you guys. We're going to come together at the church offices and pray and come together and do that together. And I'll let you know a little bit about that later. So we do a lot in the month of July, but this is the time that we'd focus on this. So we're going to prepare to hear, because a lot of us have questions about how does God speak to us. And the cool thing about God is that he's always talking. He's always speaking to us. But it's our job to be ready to hear. It's our job to fine-tune our ears so that we can hear what he's trying to tell us. So we have to prepare to hear. John 10:3-5. It says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, I was reading a little bit about this, and it's pretty cool. Actually, they can have different sheeps from different groups come together, and they can actually mix up. So picture them all, two different groups coming together, and they mix up together. Now, the shepherd can actually say whatever they say. I mean, I'm not a pro or anything, but they yell out, "Yip," or whatever it is. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So they'll yell at them, and actually they'll come to them in that moment. And it won't bring the other ones with them. Now, I wish I could get my dog to do that, but those sheep can surely do that. It's a beautiful thing. So that is what it's like to be able to hear God's voice. And he uses these pictures so that the people who were reading the Bible at the first time there, they could understand it. We don't get that as much. I mean, we're not like, I mean, I'm not going to ask because I don't think there's any shepherds in here. But are you? Anyone? No? Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. So they could do that, and they could see, they could hear what God was saying. So that's our job, to be able to know his voice outside of all the other voices that are happening at the same time. So after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So today we're going to figure out how to hear from God. We're going to focus our listening on God's voice. We're going to listen to him, and we're going to figure out what that means and how we can clear our minds of the other voices in our lives. But we need to be ready to hear him back when he is speaking to us. Proverbs 3:6 says, "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Before we do anything, before we send that text, and I'm not just talking about prayer, conversation with God is prayer. So I'm not just talking about 1 hour before you start your day. That's not necessarily all that prayer is. It's this constant conversation with him throughout the day. So you get that text from that person, you know which person I'm talking about. They send you that text, and you're like, okay, here we go. And you're like, and you have to, in that moment, consciously know, hey, this is going to set up the rest of my day. It's going to set this relationship in the right direction or the wrong direction. How am I going to respond to that text? Am I going to text them? Or am I going to sit on this for a minute, and I'm going to call them later after I've prayed about this and talked about this? So those are the types of things I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, oh God, do we move to Africa to, you know, help Africans with no money? Like, that's a great thing. Those are things that we pray for and we ask God to direct us. But we have to be ready for those things that come into our life, like that text, that thing that's happening in our life. Before we do anything, so we're going to jump into a small portion in the Bible that talks about this. I don't know a lot. I know exactly what this passage says. I don't know much more than what God has to say about hearing from God, so I just hop right in there. Starting in Luke 8, we're going to start here, then we're going to go back a little bit to go back. It says in Luke 8:8, it says, "Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted." I struggle with saying "as had," so you probably noticed that. It's difficult to read. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So he's saying, hey, I don't have a speaking problem. God, I don't know if you know this, he can speak every language, so he's not just speaking English. Primarily when he wrote the Bible, he was speaking Hebrew to people who spoke Hebrew. So he speaks very well. He's a master of communication. He's saying, can you hear me? Can you hear what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you able to have what I'm saying go in your ears, to your brain, to your heart, and then back out your mouth? Are you able to take in what he's saying? We're going to see what it takes to fix our hearing. So that's what I want to focus on, because we're going into this important season. Fall is, I don't know what it is, but a lot of times in the fall for church, a lot of people come back to church. A lot of people start going to church for the first time. It's an amazing thing. There's going to be a lot of people here for At the Movies. We're going to start that pretty soon here. So we have to be ready for all this stuff that's going to happen. We have to be able to hear what God's asking us to do. So we're going to go back into Luke 5 through 8. These are the verses right before I just read. It's going to explain a few things. It says, "A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it." So some stole these seeds. Some of these seeds were stolen. "Other seeds fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture." So the seeds were competing. And then we have "other seed fell among thorns," weeds, "and they grew up with it and choked out the tender plants." So they were competing with the weeds. "Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted." The proper way to plant seeds. So that's what we have to have. We have to have the fertile soil. If you've been to church a few times, you've heard this before. You have to be ready for those seeds to be planted in your heart. We're bringing this up because we just went through summer. We're on vacations. We're on our spiritual vacation. We have to re-till that fertile soil. We have to be ready for it to be planted in our heart. It says, when he said that, he called out. He said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So God is speaking, and now he's going to explain it. This is the cool part about this section of verses. He doesn't just leave us with this story of, like, you know, seeds going on the ground and, like, all this stuff happening. He's going to explain it to us, and he's going to tell us exactly what's happening here because he's awesome. So Luke 8:11 says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word." Okay, we got that. Luke 8:12, "The seeds fell on the footpath, represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil." So who here already thinks that birds are devils? They're annoying. My wife, she hates them in the morning. They're chirp, 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 chirp. You know what I mean? Like right outside the window. I honestly, no joke, this morning I heard one chirping, and I literally thought it was our alarm in our house. I seriously thought it was the alarm, and I looked out, and I was like, what's going on? It was a bird. They're the devil. Sorry if you're a bird lover. I don't know if there are people like that, but so though the birds were the devil, they were stealing the seeds off of the sidewalk and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. They hear it, but the devil steals it. The devil, he will mess you up. He will mess you up if you allow his pollution to come into your heart. Number one today is the polluted heart. The enemy will try to stop, will not stop to pollute your heart. He will continue to fight for that. He wants to pollute your heart. Now, there's two different kinds of pollutions. There's pollutions that we allow to happen to our lives. We allow that to happen. There are choices that we make. There are choices that we make that take us away from God, that allow the devil to speak into our life. Those are also some of the things that when we do sin, now we all sin, right? We've got that. We all sin. The only difference is some of us don't repent of our sin. We don't communicate with God. We don't tell him about our sin. We don't say, hey, God, will you help me with this sin? We're missing that part. So that is the first part of pollution. So in order to get our hearts clean from this pollution, we must start with that communication with God. We've got to speak to him. It's a simple thing. And that's the thing that God wants us to he wants to take away from us. He wants us to go far, far away from God. He doesn't want us to simply talk to God. And you know how that happens sometimes? He'll say something like, well, he's not going to listen to you this time. Or, you know, if you told anyone about this, you would be ruined. If you told anyone about this, you'd be ruined. Or if you told God, it's not going to make a difference. It's not that big of a deal. Things like that are going to sneak into your mind, and you're going to think, well, I can do this and be fine. There's things like that that are going to happen in your life. The other type of pollution is this pollution from other people. So there's things that happen to us. People do things to us that we can't really help. I remember it has to do with unforgiveness. And I remember when I was in high school, I had a close family member of mine that was really, they just did a lot of bad things to me. And they just did. And so I got into college, and I got to this point where I learned what forgiveness was, and I wanted to forgive this person of this sin because I knew that that was blocking me from hearing God. This confusion and this thing that was happening, it was clearing, it was keeping me from being able to hear from God clearly. And so, you know, I was pretty young in the understanding of how forgiveness works. So I thought, man, I got to call her up. I've got to call this person up and say, hey, I forgive you. And I gave her, and I told her everything that she did. And I told her that I forgive you for this. And man, I heard some stuff back from them. They did not think that what they did was wrong. They thought what they did was the right thing to do. And I learned right then and there that forgiveness isn't us communicating with that person. It isn't even forgetting what that person did. It's not saying, hey, I want you back in my life even. It's just saying, I forgive you for what you did. They don't have to be back in your life. They don't have to be your best friend. But we must forgive for what they've done. And there are some things in your lives that, quite frankly, that's going to take some time to get to that point. Because you not only forgive once, but you have to forgive every time you think about it. And it's very, very difficult. But it's not being best friends with them. We have to continue to walk with God. And that clears it up so that we can hear from God more clearly. So that was a fun experience. They weren't happy, but this is going to take a lot of time for some people, but continue to pray about that. Ask God, hey, I want to know how to do this. I want to know how to forgive someone for something that was so bad. But when you do, you're going to feel lighter. You've allowed yourself to be freed from prison. James 1:21 says, so get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has been planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. So let's talk about this misunderstood word that I brought up earlier a little bit. So you hear this word a lot in church. You've probably heard it on like TV preachers and they're like, repent or something like that. Anybody heard that? Like it's a loud word. It's a disgusting word. We hear it. It's easy. It's a simple word. It's a beautiful word. It literally just means to turn around. We just have to turn around from what we've been doing. And you don't have to make it a huge deal. You just turn around. And this is something that we can ask God for help with. God can help us with this. We're not going to be perfect right away, but you can turn around and change your mind. So let's just not get too caught up in that word being such a dirty word. It is kind of a scary word to bring up even on a Sunday morning because people just have this idea of the word repent. So whatever you're doing, just stop and go the other way. Let's be a little bit honest here. We can't begin a new life until we turn from the old. Whatever that means for you right now in your life, you can do that. You have the ability. Now, some of you have tried to do this without God before, and it's something that you're not able to do. The thing that I've always talked about when you accept Jesus into your life and when you ask him to take control of your life and be the powerful figure in your life, it doesn't allow you just to be able to stomp all over sin and do everything perfectly. What God does in your life is he allows you to fight. You have the ability to fight against the things that you're struggling with. You have the ability to fight against whatever it is that's holding you back from the life that you need to be living. You're not going to be perfect. You know that. You're not going to have everything perfectly made up and everything that you need, but you are going to be able to fight and get stronger every day. Luke 8:13 says, the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. So that's like you come here on Sunday morning and the other Pastor Kyle, preaches a good message. And you're like, wow, that was good. And then you go home and everybody's yelling and screaming. Then you go to school the next day or work the next day. I talk to teenagers most of the time, so that's... You go to work the next day and you're like, my goodness, the boss is making me mad. I'm talking bad about them. I'm gossiping about them. And it's just like, wow, that talk about forgiveness and all that talk yesterday just went right out the window, did it? So we have those times where God speaks to us. We feel like it did something and we get so pumped up and we're ready to go. And then boom, life hits. How do we apply that to our life? How do we enriching that soil, allow it to dig deep into that soil and actually live that life out in strength. Number two is the distracted heart. Distractions can be a good thing. So there's those things like serving even. I'm going to step on some toes here probably. Like there's things that we're doing outside the church even that are awesome. There's a lot of things that we can do that are amazing. There's a lot of bad things too that we can be doing that are distracting us. Distraction just means what is pulling you away from your time with God? Is it staying up too late? Eating too much pizza late at night? What is it in your life that you have going on? So I was picturing this as like speaking to someone in a busy mall. So like picture yourself at the AMC Theater in Jefferson Point, and then let's go Bed Bath & Beyond like on the other side. Am I lined up right? So you're trying to yell across there, and you're trying to get their attention. And obviously with a microphone you could do that, but there's like a curve in the middle of that mall too where you're just not lined up correctly, and you're trying to yell across to them. The only time you're going to be able to do that is probably in the morning when there's no one else there, you know, like only the power walkers are out. Where are my power walkers at? Anybody? man, we're a young church. Whoa, I power walked back in the day. I did some competitions. I got some trophies. Not in the mall, though. So we're trying to communicate with God, but we have all these distractions in the way. We have all these people in the way. And honestly, maybe it is the morning that we need to get out there and power walk people. Maybe we need to go to bed a little bit earlier. Summer's over, guys. It's time to go to bed a little earlier. The sun's going to start going down a little bit earlier. Right. So picture yourself there. Picture yourself in the morning. Now, let me tell you, the thing that gets me the most is the distractions on my phone. Anybody else got that phone that just blows up when you're trying to read the Bible? And you're like, okay, I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading, like, one of the best verses in the Bible, and I'm getting all inspired, and then bam, you get the ESPN notification. LeBron James to the Lakers, right? Everybody's getting LeBron James to the Lakers the other day. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Kyle texts me. He's like, hey, bro, what do you think about LeBron James to the Lakers? Go Irish! And, like, that's all he's texting me. And then I get another notification. You get, like, the stock update, and it's like, your 401k has gone down 25% because LeBron James has gone to the Lakers. Like, you know, you get too many of those notifications. And honestly, I tried. Does everyone know who LeBron James is first? I'm very sorry if I've pulled you guys out. And, like, Michael Jordan, anybody? You get those updates on your phone, and you try to read your Bible on your phone because you're trying to, like, stay up with the times and all that stuff. And it's time to get that paper Bible out sometimes. That's what I'm going to start doing. I felt convicted when I was reading about this. I've got to get that paper Bible out because I get so distracted by what's happening on my phone. Two or three years ago, I did go through and I just eliminated a lot of my notifications. I was getting ESPN updates about women's soccer, like the big news stuff. I was getting updates about, like, Pee Wee baseball, you know? Like, I don't need all of that stuff. I mean, if we've got someone from Fort Wayne, I want to read about it, that's cool. But I don't need, like, you know, some kid from East Asia playing baseball, striking out some girl from America, you know? I don't need that. So maybe we need to go through, cut some of that stuff out as we get busier. I got a little rabbit trail there, I guess. We're going to hop in here and read about some sisters in the Bible. This is a very popular verse in the Bible. It goes through, they're two sisters. They're in the same house with Jesus, but one has ears to hear and the other does not. Luke 10:39 through 40 says, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She was serving. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I work, while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. Now, who hears this from kids all the time? Like, that's somewhat immature to start with, okay? And then also, she had an opportunity to be with Jesus and to hear from Jesus. Who cares about the dinner? Like, get rid of the dinner. Just get some McDonald's and sit there and listen to Jesus. So, to hear God's voice, I must turn down the world's volume. I must turn down the world's volume. Luke 8:14 says, the seeds that fell among the thorns, the weeds, represent neglect. Those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. So, have you tried to grow a weed before? I mean, it doesn't take much. You just neglect your yard, and there you go. Even when your yard's scorched, you still get the beautiful weeds coming up. My favorite of all time, and I know you guys have seen this, and I hope that none of you are this person, but is on Facebook, I've seen literally at least 5 or 10 people post this, and they've been from different areas of the country. They'll post this big, tall thing on Facebook right next to their house, and post a picture. What kind of tree is this? Does anyone else, have you guys seen those? They'll be like, what kind of tree is this growing by my house? That's not a tree, that's a weed. Like, you've got this huge weed growing by your house. Cut that thing down and put some put some weed killer in there. Kill that thing. The weeds represent neglect. Now, I'm not trying to step on your toes about your yard. You guys are busy. That's your thing. Like, I got a weed or two, you know, about 75 weeds out there right now. You have the opportunity. You can push out those weeds. Those are things that we have to focus on. We have the weeds that grow up in our life. Everyone's a little bit different in this. We have different weeds that grow up. We have addictions. We have different things that our families dealt with. We have whatever we have that we are struggling with. We have those weeds growing up in our life. We have to keep those at bay. You can't just ignore it. You have to fight against it. You have to fight against it. Number three today is the immature heart. You're just like, I'm saved and I'm happy about it. I'm saved. I don't need to do anything else. Now, God is saying to you, he's like, I have more for you. I have a bigger life for you. There's no such thing as just being saved. If you're not moving forward, I mean, everybody says this, if I'm not moving forward, I'm moving backwards. You have to continue to press in. You have to give God more of your life every day. Every step of life takes us deeper and deeper. So this is the way I kind of look at it. We've got those kids in our house, and we do have one of them that constantly says, stop using your words, use my words. She says, stop using your words, use my words. Like, she wants me to talk to her in her language. I have to be able to use her words to be able to talk to her. And I try my best. At the same time, I'm trying to develop her language a little more so that someday I don't have to use her words anymore. We're talking to her like an adult. But that's what immaturity does. Children in elementary school don't know all the words that we do. And I don't have a big vocabulary. Everybody knows that. But what I'm saying is we have to continue to grow and learn our language. We have to continue to know more about language. We have to continue to grow up. Like, there are things in our lives, like, my week goes really well when Anna and I sit down and we go through our calendar together, and most of the time we do that, but the weeks that we don't, my goodness, it's a horrible week. I'm trying to figure out where she's going. Where am I going? Where am I going after work? We have to grow up. We have to be mature. Every step of life that I've done, and I've made some big ones over the last 10 years, getting married, having some kids in our house, like, there's different things that we do that just kind of make, like, they force you to stand up a little bit taller, to be a little bit more ready, to be, like, bouncing, ready to go on your toes. Like, there's things that continue to make us mature, but there are also things that we have to force ourselves to mature in. It takes discipline and a lot of grace. If we take that step, that first step, God will meet us right where we're at. If we force ourselves to get up in the morning and come to the 21 days of prayer, to pray with each other, even though that's early. Like, I'm a morning person, but, like, I don't want to have to get up and, like, get a shower at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. I want to be able to relax. But I have to force myself to get up and do that. It's difficult, especially if you're working 40 or 50 or 60 or 70. Can I get 80 hours a week from some people? Like, that's another thing, and I'm not, again, stepping on toes here. When one thing is out of balance in your life, it's going to make other things out of balance in your life. I'm not saying go to your work tomorrow and quit. Pray with God. Ask him, hey, what can I do? Where's my out? Like, what am I called to? Am I called to 80 hours for the rest of my life? There are seasons in your life where 80 hours is perfectly fine, but where am I going with this? Can I continue this for the rest of my life? It takes discipline, guys, a lot of grace and discipline. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Just throw it out. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We must commit ourselves to watching the lives of those who have strong faith. We have people all around us who have strong faith. Who has strong faith that you know? Get them in your life. So we have our men's night coming up. And I'm not going to say much about this, but I do want you to sign up. This is going to be a time where we're going to grow. We're going to grow. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be pushed. We have to do this. Men, sign up. Get your phone out right now if you have to. Sign up in the app on the Elevate City mobile app. We have our fall semester coming up for our small groups, too. So most of you guys do small groups, and man, oh, man, they're a life changer. Our student ministry is a small group, and that is an amazing experience. But if you haven't been in a small group before, just get in one. Like, just whatever excuse there is, just find a way to get around that excuse. And the biggest thing is, I know a lot of people get intimidated by, hey, that small group is really deep, like, I'm afraid to bare my soul. Get in a fun one then. Play some basketball, rub shoulders with some guys. I just threw one out there. I got a teenager leading a basketball small group, so get in that one. Man, that'll kick your butt. But can I be honest for you guys for a minute, and we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes. It really does, and that's powerful to me right now. There's all kinds of excuses that we can make, and it's easy to do it, and it's easy to get wrapped up in excuse after excuse after excuse, but we need to continue to fight against that. Commit yourself to a group of people. Just do it. Hop in that group. Hop in a group and commit yourself to that. Say, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish out this semester. If it was the worst thing I've ever done in my life, I'm not doing it again. Okay, whatever. I doubt that's going to happen. Commit yourself to a church and commit yourself to a huge step in maturity. Luke 8:15 says, "And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest." Number four is the prepared heart. What is the key to all of this? It's continuing to hear from God, clearing the distractions, taking things out of our life, putting new things into our life, hearing from God, listening to Him, doing what He says to do. But how do we get prepared? How do we get prepared? There's three simple things. I'm going to hop in here. There are three R's. Welcome to Pastor's Life. Check mark number one is repent. Again, that beautiful R word. Turn around. Don't sweat it. Don't get all worked up. Just turn around. Go the other way. Turn around. Number two here is refocus. Reading your Bible, praying. Some of you guys read the one-year Bible. Don't get worked up. Like, don't stay back in April. Move forward. Keep going. Push forward. Just keep going. Don't get stuck. And then the third one is revive. Ask God to bring revival. Bring some excitement to your life. Stir up your soul. Allow yourself to be changed. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God." One of the most difficult seasons in my life was the one right before we moved here in October. So September of last year, God said, I mean, it was clear. It was just boom, boom. Hey, you guys need to move. It was actually in August. Move to Fort Wayne. So right after that, we put our house on the market. It sold. We moved up here, got up here in October. But during the season that we were living in Indianapolis, we moved down there because we felt we were supposed to start a church. So we threw that expectation out to everybody. So they threw that expectation right back at us. And we felt so down and out. And we worked on our lives during that time, though. That was one of the most difficult but most rewarding seasons of our life. There was some pollution in our life, things that we put there, things that other people put there, but we need to clean it out. There were things that we needed to work on. We continue to do therapy. We think it's a great thing even before we moved down there. We do therapy. We believe in what God does through good Christian therapy. And we continued to clear that out. There were so many times we wanted to do more things. We wanted to go ahead. Let's start that church. Other people were like, why aren't you starting that church? And we came to a point where we were like, and thank God for Pastor Kyle and Bethany. They continue to agree with us and help us and say, keep it out. Just don't do it. We wanted to start doing foster care earlier on. We want to do it now. We continue to say no, no, no to everything so that we could clear out our life so that we could hear from God. And then August of last year, we came to a service here at Elevate City, and just as clear as could be, we just knew that we were supposed to move up here, and it has not been the same since. Now, I'm not saying this is the end for us or anything like that, but God does something amazing. We have three awesome kids in our house right now, and I was literally just sitting there yesterday, and they're like running around, screaming, yelling, like laughing so loud, and sometimes it's too much, but man, yesterday I was living it up. I just loved hearing it all run around in the house, and sometimes they cry, and you get to be there for them, and it's awesome. We're living out part of our calling right now. Part of that calling is coming out right now. There's more stuff later, whatever that looks like, but right now we're living it up with what he's doing in our life, and we're so excited about it. And it's because people like Pastor Kyle and Bethany loved us so much to say, Kyle, Anna, keep it out. Just say no. Just say no. Keep saying no. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time. We're not completely there yet. Like, we still got some stuff to work on. Who doesn't? But we're there. Like, we're doing stuff. We're having a blast. We're living out our calling. Guys, God's voice is clearest in a prepared environment. Wherever you're right now, clear out those distractions. Just get rid of them. It doesn't matter. I know whatever it is, it's huge. Like, it's valuable in your life. It's the most important thing in your life right now. It doesn't matter. Take it out. Just get rid of it. Turn around. Go away. Get it out. Whatever it takes. Find people that love you. Help. Get it out. Move out of the house. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. It has to happen. It has to happen. Say no. Do it. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you are in control of our lives, that you have so much for us, that you're preparing us right now to say no, to say yes, to do whatever it looks like right now, God, for our lives. We continue to ask that you would just continue to help us, whatever that looks like for us right now. And I ask that you would be speaking to each person in here right now, clearly, that they would open up their ears, that they would take the pollution out, that they would add things to their lives right now, that they could be able to hear you right now, God. And if there's anyone here today who you're just ready, this is the moment. You're ready to give your life to him, and you're saying, hey, I'm done. I'm not in control anymore. I'm putting you in control. And if that's you, I just ask, when I count to three, just raise your hand up. So one, two, three. Let that hand go up. Thank you. If that's you today, just let it go. I'm going to pray for you that raised your hand, God. God, be with these people who raised their hands today. Help them to grow in you, be close to you, be strong in you, be bold in you, to hear you, that they wouldn't allow any distractions to come back in their life, God, that they would just give it up for you today. Amen.